Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is See the Sign, based especially on our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, and it reads again, Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I encourage you all to turn inside your bulletin and find the pink insert. You'll find there the sermon outline, and by following that outline, you'll know how close we are to being done. It's there printed out before you. Again, our theme, See the Sign. What a day today. Children singing their songs, and there's more to come. St. Nicholas, did you ever know that a bishop from Turkey spoke with a German accent? Herb, we never knew that about you. We had to find the cutest guy with a white beard in the congregation. We only have one white beard in the congregation. But today our sermon asks a question. Do you see the sign? The prophet Isaiah said, Here comes the sign. A virgin shall conceive and have a son, Emmanuel, and he'll be the sign. Well, in the 2006 movie entitled The Children of Men, this movie foretells a frightening future in which not a single boy baby has been born in the world for 18 years. In this dark world, it doesn't take much time for people to begin to point the finger of blame. Who's to blame for no children being born? Is God punishing us? Are foreigners corrupting us? Society in this movie in Great Britain breaks down into civil war and racial tensions. Refugees from poor nations flock into Great Britain. The government puts up walls and detainment camps to keep the foreigners out. And then, into this chaotic world of despair and darkness, a young African girl whose name is Key suddenly becomes pregnant. How? No one knows. It's a miracle. Then the main character, whose name is Theo, is enlisted to take Key, this pregnant young woman from Africa, to a safe place out of the area so she can give birth to her child. But when they're delayed, Key gives birth to this child in a refugee camp during a very fierce battle. And the baby begins to cry, and the camera pans the soldiers who all of a sudden quit their fighting and their shooting and their killing because they hear the voice of a baby crying, a sound they hadn't heard in almost 20 years. The fighting stops. And the movie asks the question, what does this birth mean? For some, the birth of Key's baby is a sign of hope. Maybe there's hope for humanity again. But for others, it's a sign of judgment. Judgment upon the hatred and violence of mankind. And as soon as the baby is born and the mother moves on, the battle resumes. Is Key's baby a sign of hope? Or a sign of judgment? That depends, and notice your sermon outline, that depends, and here comes the theme of our sermon. That depends because what a sign means depends on how you see it. In our sermon text from Isaiah chapter 7, a prophet named Isaiah tells the king of Judah, whose name is Ahaz, that God will give him a sign of hope. But for this wicked, godless king, a sign that was meant for hope became a sign of judgment. Ahaz lived in a time of fear and doubt. It was about 700 years B.C., that is 700 years before the birth of Christ that's soon upon us. And the nation of Judah was being attacked by a very powerful foreign enemy. Now, King Ahaz should have trusted the Lord to spare Judah. But he turned his back on the Lord. Instead, he worshipped idols and even tried to make a political alliance with a pagan, godless nation, Assyria, rather than trust in the Lord. But the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz to give him hope. Isaiah said, "Please, King, turn from worthless idols. Turn from making alliances with godless nations and turn to the Lord." But sadly, Ahaz would not believe. He wanted to carry out his own political plans without any interference from God. But the Lord still wanted to help. So he sent and he asked Ahaz to ask for a sign. Ask for any sign that will prove to you I want to help you. And we read in the text from Isaiah 7, which Reuben just read, "Again the Lord said to King Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Ask for a sign from God.' But King Ahaz refused the sign. He refused God's sign because he preferred his alliance with Assyria over trust in the Lord. But the Lord was even more stubborn than Ahaz was. The Lord still gave him the sign. And the sign meant for hope became a sign of judgment. If you listen carefully, you can hear the frustration in Isaiah the prophet's words. Listen carefully to Isaiah's frustration as he says to Ahaz, "Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name his name Emmanuel." In the Hebrew language, Emmanuel means God is with us. The sign of Emmanuel was meant to say, "Emmanuel, God is with us. There is hope." But because of how Ahaz saw the sign as an interference in his plans, it became a sign of judgment. "Emmanuel, God is with us, and he's bringing his judgment." Yet the sign of Emmanuel would later be fulfilled in a far greater way than Ahaz could ever imagine. For the sign of Emmanuel was fulfilled not just at the time of Ahaz. Its greater fulfillment came much later in a stable, in a manger, in a little town called Bethlehem, when the sign of Emmanuel took human flesh in the Christ child of Christmas. You see, what a sign means depends on how you look at it. The sign of Emmanuel was nothing but good news for Mary and Joseph many years after Isaiah and King Ahaz. But like Ahaz, Mary and Joseph lived in a time of fear and doubt. Their Judah was also being attacked. There, Judah was under the persecution and thumb of an enemy occupation force called the Roman government. Mary was pregnant. And Mary and Joseph weren't even married yet, just engaged. And Joseph assumed, as any rational man would, that Mary had been unfaithful to him. So he was considering breaking the engagement and quietly divorcing her. And now comes verse 19 of today's gospel reading from Matthew. Listen carefully to Matthew's words. "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, planned to divorce her quietly. But God sent an angel of the Lord to Joseph to give him a word of hope and to give him again, the sign of Emmanuel." Listen to the text. Matthew writes, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and you shall call his name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For Joseph and Mary, the sign of Emmanuel was a sign of hope and promise and a future that God would surely be with them. Because, here we go again, what a sign means depends on how you see it. What does the sign of Emmanuel mean for you? Let me ask that again, with your attention here. There are many other choices this morning where your attentions can be. What does the sign of Emmanuel mean for you today? Like King Ahaz, and then like Joseph and Mary, we too live in a time of fear and doubt. There are wars going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. Right, Marnie? And that's where your dear husband is now. Our economy is not strong. Political changes are all around us. Challenges abound for our families. We wake up every morning and wonder, what new perversion is this godless society going to try to shove down our throats today? Many people have anxieties and fears. And so instead of turning to the true God, as Ahaz did not, they cling to the false gods and idols of this world. But especially at this time of year, God speaks to us quietly in the silence of our hearts to remind us that at this time of the year we remember that Almighty God sent to us in that Bethlehem's manger His Son, Jesus, who is Emmanuel, the sign that God is with us. And this Jesus Emmanuel says these words to us. Listen carefully now. These are the words of Jesus Emmanuel to you and me. Revelation 1 verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death." And Jesus Emmanuel tells us in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Jesus Emmanuel tells us in John 11, 25, one of my favorite promises. He says these words. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." All of these wonderful Christmas gifts. What are you looking for under your Christmas tree? Here are the Christmas gifts of a God who loves the world and you and me. Victory over fear, victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. All these wonderful gifts are ours because of the sign of Emmanuel. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us. He has come to us in the flesh and blood of Jesus the Christ child. Look inside that Bethlehem's manger, would you? Won't you? Take a peek. Take a peek with me. Inside that Bethlehem's manger, what do you see? It's God in the human flesh. It is Emmanuel. By golly, God kept His promise. He is with us. And because He came in the flesh, Jesus Emmanuel took our fears, took our conflicts, took our sins upon Himself, and there upon a cross, He died. He died for you. He died for me, for the sins of the world. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was killed. The battle for our souls was waged upon Him, and died He did. And it may have been Friday when He died on Good Friday. But make no mistake about it, Sunday was coming. On an Easter Sunday, He rose to give victory over sin, death, and devil to any who put their faith in Him. Jesus, God, Emmanuel, is with us. And He made this promise. Wherever two or three of you are gathered in My name, says Jesus, there I am in your midst. There it is again, the sign of Emmanuel. God is with us. And in a very special way, follow where I'm pointing now. In a very special way, Jesus, Emmanuel, is here today in the Lord's Supper. Because in, with, and under the simple bread and wine of Holy Communion, at the same time we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On that night, before He went to the cross, our Lord Jesus, Mary's babe, grown up as a man and a Savior of the world, sat with His disciples for the last time, and He gave them what we call the Lord's Supper. And then He spoke those powerful words that we speak every Sunday, the same words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is My body. Take and drink. This is My blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Here in this Holy Supper, make no mistake about it. Here in this Holy Supper, in, with, and under the bread and wine, Jesus Emmanuel gives us the gift of Himself for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Yes, the Lord's Supper is yet one more sign of Emmanuel. And as we've said again and again in this sermon, we're going to say it again. What a sign means depends on how you see it. And like the sign for Ahaz, this sign is meant to be a sign of hope. But it can become a sign of bad news. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that if people do not discern the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, that is, if they disregard it, if they ridicule it, if they reject what's being offered there, God will bring His judgment. And that's one reason why every Sunday when we have the Lord's Supper, we have that half sheet insert in the bulletin to make sure that people fully understand and appreciate what is happening in this sacrament. And that is why, as the pastor here, I need to instruct people on the full meaning of this sacrament. So when they kneel at that altar rail, they are ready to receive what the Lord promises to give, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of their sins. Well, the main purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remind us that the sign of Emmanuel has been fulfilled again. God is with us. God is for us. He forgives our sins. And each and every time we kneel at this altar rail, we are looking face to face with Jesus Emmanuel, who has come for us to love and to forgive. It's a sign. The sign of Emmanuel again. Let me take you down a walk down memory lane to when I was growing up. Kids, you won't believe how long ago that was. And I had hair down to my shoulders at that time. I was pretty cool. But back when I was in high school in the early 1970s, There was a popular song about signs. This whole sermon is about, see the sign? This song about signs told us that there are signs all around us telling us what to do. Telling us what to do or not to do. Signs to push us around. Signs to make us feel guilty. Signs to make us feel like we don't measure up. Signs to show us there's no way we can obey all the signs. And the chorus of that song went like this. And although I'd like to, I won't sing it for you. The song said, "Signs, signs, everywhere a sign. Blocking the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?" Now, just the opposite of this bad news song about signs is God's love song to you and me. God's love song about a sign. The sign of Jesus Emmanuel. Jesus Emmanuel is God's love song to you and me. And this song was first sung by the angels to the shepherds in the field. And here's what they sang. "For unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the sign of Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. Do you see the sign? What a sign in the name of Jesus. Amen.